Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you enjoyed that message with Pastor Lutz here in the previous half hour. Good message. I appreciated that. Appreciate his ministry out there in Lakewood as well. And I'm just thankful there's some good churches around here in the northeastern Ohio area. If you're in need of a good church that believes the Bible, preaches the Bible, follows the Bible, there's some good churches in the area. Certainly Pastor Lutz out on the east side or the west side there in Lakewood. And then, of course, there's also Pastor Risnacko that follows us at 2 o'clock. He'll be a message from 2 until 2:30 and out there in Euclid at Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, Ohio. And then again, we have hopefully ourselves in the south side of Cleveland, midway between Cleveland and Akron. In Richfield, Ohio, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you come out and visit us. You can visit us either tonight. We have our Bible study tonight starting at 7 o'clock, and that's an informal Bible study, and you bring the questions, and we'll talk about a dozen topics in one evening, sometimes just one, and we'll cover several things. But then also on Sunday morning, we have our morning Bible study on Sunday morning, and we've been looking at a variety of things, what different people believe, and we'll be number three in our series looking at four key doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist teaching and what the Bible actually says about them. We'll be talking, I believe, about the eternal punishment of the lake of fire, or are you just sort of incinerated? And we'll talk about some things with that, Lord willing, this Sunday morning during our 10 o'clock Bible study. And then the Sunday morning service, we're in Romans chapter 3, and I've been preaching through the book of Romans. We just finished the book of Acts, and I like preaching through books of the Bible, and it keeps things in context. You see a lot of wherefores and therefores, and whenever you see that, I always remind people to look to see what it's there for. And it's usually because of things going on ahead, and we'll be finishing up Romans chapter 3, talking about how God puts his righteousness upon us when we trust Christ as our Savior. And then Sunday night, we're in the book of Psalms, and last week we started Psalm 119. We did the first 8 verses, and we're dividing up Psalm 119 into its stanzas. There's, I believe, 22 stanzas, each one starting with a different letter in the Hebrew alphabet, in alphabetical order, of course. And so we did the first, and we'll be in, I believe, Psalm 9 on Sunday night. So I encourage you to come out and visit us. We'd love to have you, and if we can be a blessing to you, and if you're looking for a church where we center on the Word of God and try to see what the Bible has to say, we'd love to have you come and visit us. And let's see, a couple things going on, and I realize I haven't started with prayer yet. We usually do, so let's go ahead and do that right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you bless the program, use it for your glory. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody this afternoon. Help us, Lord, to be able to point people to Christ that are searching and in need of Christ, and help us to be able to encourage believers in their walk with you. And we just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, also want to mention that you can find us online at whereisgodsword.com. That's another program. That's a good website as well. I actually helped put that together, and I was just looking at my screen here, and I saw that one. But that's Evangelist Bruce Musselman, and he's been around for many years. Many of our listeners know him real well, and he's also on here on Tuesday nights here on 1220 AM Tuesday nights, I believe, at I'm going to get this wrong. I think it's 7 o'clock or 7:30, around in that time frame. 6:30. There we are. That's like a voice in out of the blue there. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate that. And you can listen to that as well. But our website is livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook as well. And I try to get a number of things on there to try and encourage people and encourage believers in their walk with the Lord. A couple things I wanted to mention here before we get into too much, and I also want to remind you our telephone is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to have you give us a call here, and we'll get you on the air here this afternoon. Let's see. We had something coming up here. Where did I have that at? This is the last day, of course, of March, which means tomorrow is the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. And I was telling Pastor Lutz as he was leaving the studio, saw a great picture online, had this guy with this angry, scowly face, and just a close-up of him scowling. And it said, the two tenets of atheism. It said, one, there is no God. Number two, I hate him. And that reflects Psalm 14, verse 1, where it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And, that's why we refer to April Fool's Day as National Atheist Day. And that's repeated again in Psalm 53:1, where he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they. They've done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. You have to be a fool to say that there is no God. We've talked about this quite a bit in our program over the years. The abundance of evidence, scientific evidence, historical evidence, logical evidence, that it makes it more reasonable to believe that there's a God than to disbelieve in God. And that's why the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, we have Nancy calling in here this afternoon, and Nancy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. As a matter of fact, I am walking in the rain with my umbrella, and I got you on TuneIn Radio.
Oh, okay, on your cell phone, huh?
Yeah, I'm sort of excited about April Fool's Day, because I always try to think up a lot of different ways to try to fool my friends, but I know that's not what I called about. So I'm trying to make up a list here. I think it's great that it's, you know, like National Atheist Day, because they are the biggest fools, and they will certainly suffer condemnation in hell eventually.
Yeah, and there's just so much evidence that Psalm 19 says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. I mean, you have to, and Romans 1 talks about how the unsaved person, even in his heart, knows there's a God. They have to work to suppress it. That's why I like that thing that I said about, you know, the tenets of atheism. One, there is no God. Two, I hate him.
Yes, amen. Well, I'm calling today about Psalm 1:5.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if when you all had a reformers group, I know you said that you did that initially before you did that Friday night group. We concentrate on Psalm 1 is like sort of like just something we say every week. It sort of symbolizes what we believe, you know, associating with the godly, not the ungodly, you know, whoever you hang around with.
Right.
Psalm 1:5, it says, and the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. Well, to me, that's a little perplexing, because the ungodly, I'm sure they're referring to the lost, they will be judged at the great white throne judgment. They're probably talking about the Bema Seat, but it's not really clarified there in that verse. If you could explain that, thank you.
And think about it this way. It doesn't say they won't be judged. It just says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
Oh.
And if you look in Psalm 5, I was just looking at that, and over just across the page in Psalm 5, and verse number 5, there's a similar statement here. It says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity." And what I'm thinking here, this is just what I'm thinking off the top of my head here, looking at these verses, is there's a lot of people in their pride. You know, look at the atheists. You know, I heard Stephen Fry, who's a British actor, probably best known to some people as the actor that played Jeeves, in the British series Jeeves and Wooster, which is I done back in, I think, the 90s or something like that. But whenever it was, 80s or 90s, and it's had some play here on television in America. But Stephen Fry is an atheist, I believe, and he was asked one time, if there was a God and you stood before him, what would you say? Or if you were, you know, to appear before him, he said, "Well, I would say, how dare you? How dare you?" And then he went on to list a number of things in the world that he thought was unfair and terrible. And, you know, how dare you allow somebody to get a cancer? How dare you allow wars? And, you know, and the prideful attitude that was evidenced there, that he would stand up to God and shake his fist at God and bring accusations against God and say, "How dare you?" And a lot of the unsaved are like that. They think they're going to stand before God and accuse him. But the Bible says in the judgment, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. And I think what it's saying here is not that they won't appear in the judgment. They won't stand. They're not going to stand before God in defiance. They're going to fall flat on their face before him.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you very much. They won't stand in defense. Yeah. Okay, thank you. It just seemed a little perplexing to me, because I know the lost will be judged. Everybody will be judged for a good work.
Oh, yeah. Even we as believers, when we come before him at the Bema seat, you know, we may stand there, we may be lifted to our feet, but I think initially we're going to fall on our face before him too.
Oh, absolutely.
As believers, when we come face to face with our Savior and God, we're going to fall on our faces before him, but I kind of think that he might stand us up. But but looking at this, the ungodly, as it says in Psalm 1 and verse 5, and also the foolish, as it says in Psalm 5 and verse 5, they're not going to be able to stand there. They may say that in this life, I'll stand up to him and I'll bring accusation against him. I'll take him to task. No, they're not going to do any such thing. Even the devil himself is going to fall before God.
Yeah.
And
also
in the congregation of the righteous, you know, we're going to be witnesses at the great white throne judgment. I believe we'll be some of the witnesses there.
And I didn't realize that.
You know, and the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of detail there, but I believe that we'll see some of these, you know, people come before God. And so when they fall on their face, let me cautious how I phrase this, they'll fall on their face before us, but it won't be in homage to us. It'll be an homage to God. They'll fall on their face in submission to him, but that'll be in front of us. You see, there's a passage in the Bible somewhere, and I don't know where it is right off the top of my head, that somebody asked me about one time, and it seemed to indicate that the unsaved would worship before, and they asked, does this mean they're going to worship us? Because it seemed to say that, but what it was talking about is basically what it says right here in Psalm 1:5, they're not going to stand in our presence, because when we're there and God is judging them, they're going to be flat on their face before God, and that'll be in front of us. So in a sense, it'll be before us, but it won't be directed to us. It'll be directed to God. They're not going to be worshiping us. They'll be worshiping before us, God, and they'll call him, holy. And they will ignite. I believe that when people are cast into the lake of fire, I think that what God reveals to them And if people want to see in a little more clear detail on this great white throne judgment that we're talking about, they can go to Revelation and they can look at that in, let me turn over there real quick, Revelation chapter 20, I believe, where it says, starting in verse number 11, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. That one's there. It makes it clear later on to show that these people are not saved. And then another book was open, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So by the time God goes through these books that shows their works and shows their sin, they're going to clearly see their sinful condition, and I believe that when they're cast into the lake of fire, they're going to understand that they deserved it. And they're going to know clearly, you know. Some are going to say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done, you know, works in your name, miracles, different thing, healing, whatever it is?"
Yes.
But they're not saved. And so, so that's a good question you brought up there for us, Nancy. So
okay, well, thank you for explaining it so well. And you know, I just keep thinking about President Trump. I know this is a totally different subject.
Mm-hmm.
Being attacked so viciously and so continuously. And I do pray many times every day for his protection, because there's people that would like to assassinate him, not assassinate him, but delegitimize him continually. But he still stands strong so far. But I just hope that he doesn't just give in from all this oppression.
Right.
And all these attacks, it just really, hope and pray that he stays alive.
Yeah, continue to pray for him, pray for his safety, and I hope and pray that he's truly born again. Some people aren't sure. I think I've seen a difference over the last year. There's a bill, and I'll have to get to our next callers here, but there's a bill that's heading to his desk. Vice President Mike Pence broke a tie in the Senate yesterday that overruled an Obama administration rule that forced states to finance Planned Parenthood. So that's a good thing right there.
Thank you very much for answering.
Thanks again for the call.
Get to your new calls.
Thank you. And let me jump to Jeremiah next. Jeremiah, welcome to the program.
Yes, I'm Jeremiah the prophet.
Well, you got a book, don't you? So have to make it quick, though. Got some more callers.
April Fools.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
My mom named me after Jeremiah prophet when I was having her Bible.
Yeah, well, you know, the amazing thing is there, Prophet Jeremiah, I've got John the Apostle calling in next, too, so.
The reason why I called is because I had a prophecy, a dream, the other night about Obama becoming the leader of the United Nations.
I wouldn't call it a prophecy. You could call it a dream, but I'd be reluctant to call it a prophecy. I mean, I've had people call in and tell me about prophets and prophecies, and before the inauguration, we had a guy that was trying to tell us that Trump was never going to be inaugurated because some crazy guy out in California or something had a vision that Obama was the last president. Or it would be the last president. And the same guy was a false prophet because he'd also dreamed that Pope John Paul II, I think it was, Pope Benedict, or whichever, followed John Paul II, was going to be the last pope, but he was wrong there, and they were hoping he'd be right on the president one. So Obama may or may not. There's some people who've talked about that, but we'll have to save that one for another day and see what happens, okay? So
it could be possible he could lead the United Nations, but you gotta keep your eyes and ears open.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. It's possible. Right now, he's doing his best to overthrow Trump and keep him from being effective. So, hey.
We'll be raptured before that happens.
Well, before the revelation of the Antichrist, the Bible's pretty clear about that. So
Revelation 13:1.
Yeah, it talks about the beast coming up, the first beast, and that be the Antichrist, and then the second beast coming up a little later, which would be the false prophet. And also Daniel chapter 9 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 all indicate that the Christians, the church, will be taken out of here before the revelation of the Antichrist. So we'll have to leave that right there.
God bless.
All right, thank you. And again, happy Atheist Day tomorrow there, Jeremiah. All right, appreciate that. We've got John calling in. And John, we had Prophet Jeremiah. Now we've got John the Apostle, I hope, coming in. So welcome to the program today.
Yeah. Yep, praise the Lord, Pastor.
Amen. Well, at least I know you're Saint John. How's that?
Yeah,
if you know Christ is your Savior, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise Him. He deserves all the glory. And, you know, I just need to walk humbly with Him.
Mm-hmm.
I praise Him for that. You know, I was thinking, I think the verse you were thinking about, maybe thinking about, was Revelation 3:9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, to know that I have loved thee.
That may be it. Now, I was thinking it was an Old Testament one. It could be the same one.
Okay.
And it may be both. It may be both. I'll have to look that up again sometime.
Well, I was thinking that one applies to what you're saying though too, because it's they come to worship before their feet, but it's because to know, you know, the Lord Jesus is saying He'll make them know that I've loved thee.
Right.
That's the reason, not because they're worthy of worshiping themselves, but because they're just worshiping before their feet. They're not necessarily, I don't think they're worshiping them, but it's just,
yeah, they're worshiping in front of them, but the object of their worship is not the believers, it's the Lord.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's because Christ loved them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, praise the Lord. And, you know, I was wondering if we could look at something real quick in 1 Kings, and just to give you the background real quick, it's 1 Kings 18, and it's Elijah with the prophets of Baal, and after, you know, the Lord demonstrated through Elijah that He was God and not Baal.
Right.
And so then the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings 40, Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook of Kishon and slew them there. And, you know, there's a later, really quickly, another verse in where Jezebel hears from Ahab in chapter 1 Kings 19:1. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done,
mm-hmm.
with all he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And the question is, did Elijah, because I don't think this is the case, did Elijah kill all of them personally with the sword? Or was he, he caused it to be done, I believe. But I don't think he personally ran them through himself.
But it is possible, because
it's possible.
It may be that the prophets of Baal, many of them were in a trance-like state as it was anyways, because they had worked themselves up into a frenzy, you know, to the point, remember, they were jumping up on their own altars and cutting themselves and putting their blood on their sacrifices. And Elijah had been over there, you know, saying, cry out, maybe your God's sleeping or on a trip or something out, and you need to get His attention. And so they had worked themselves up into a frenzy, and it may be that when God licked up the sacrifice, the stone, the altar, I'm sorry, the water and everything that was poured on there, the burnt sacrifice, it may be that they were in some kind of a trance or struck, you know, in some state of shock where they were unable to do anything to resist. And so he had that opportunity.
I'm not questioning, like, the Spirit of God coming on him like Samson and him being able to. It just seems to me that the scripture doesn't necessarily imply that he killed them all individually. It sounds like he had help.
Yeah, and it's possible there were some that helped him, because obviously I'm sure some people probably helped him with the stones, moving the stones around to build the altar. It may be that he had some people kind of assisting him, because he did have some people that traveled with him, but, well, we're out of time. So
you've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220, The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.